next group to perform is the Wednesday Big Band from Desert Vista High School under the direction of Mr. Michael Kruger. They will be performing The Gremlin's Revenge by Dean Sorensen, Somewhere by Bernstein and Sondheim, arranged by Peter Blair, and Tides of Syzygy by James Kennis.
Well, good afternoon, Desert Vista High School, Mr. Krill. My name is Matt Olson. I'm the Director of Jazz Studies and Professor of Saxophone at Furman University in Greenville, South Carolina. It's really nice to be back at the Highland Festival and to get a chance to hear you guys again. I'm going to let you play for a little bit and then see what I can suggest here. Bring that tight harmony out in the trombones. Ooh, a soli. All right, saxes, you gotta blow. Your sound starts with your air, and we need to go ahead and go for it and put some air through the horn. Take big air in, and then make sure you push from your abdominal muscles, those core muscles, the muscles you use to say shh real loud. You want to push those, activate those muscles, and go ahead and put some force behind your air. It'll speed up the air. We blow cold air, a laser beam of cold air through the saxophone. So a nice job, well prepared, good soli, good job on that. But we need to fill up the horn a little bit. So Jared, that second chord is D minor. Let's find our way to F, not F sharp. Yeah, better this time. Find the thirds of the chords. When you're on A minor, play the C. Now D minor, you find that F natural. And when you get the E7 chord, make sure you find your way to G7. You want to play a G sharp and lead into A with that. You play that leading tone. That's the most important note in the thing, is in measure 10. You've got E7 in your key. In the tenor, it's A7 right here. C sharp. You got an A, C sharp again here. That's the leading tone. So that's the first thing we want to learn, is to try to really play those 5-to-1 relationships. And 5-to-1 is all about playing, in this particular key, for the tenor, we're in D minor, playing C sharp to D over A dominant. I'm going to write something down real quick. So good job on those solos, but you got to play out and go for it. Sell me something. Take me on a trip. But the next step for you guys is to really try to work on figuring out what harmonically is working here. So I made some archaic notes, some cryptic notes here on the thing about playing those leading tones. And hopefully between the tape and the comments, it'll make sense to you. And I'm going to have a couple things to suggest here. Yeah, nice job on that chart. Good job. Musicians make statements. We don't ask questions. Make sure you're making statements through your instruments. Sometimes it seems a little bit tentative or timid, and we want to make sure that we're that we're really going for it all the time. Great. Yeah, and good job on the solos. Good job on that chart. It was fun to hear you guys. All right. Now, so sax is our embouchure is important. Our airstream is important. Our equipment is important. There's so many different things on the horn to consider. Embouchure, we're rolling our bottom lip in for now. Later we might roll out a little bit, but for now we roll our lips in, close with ooh, and relax the big muscles in our face, the muscles that we would tense up when we squint or smile. Those are the muscles you want to really relax. Have a nice loose but firm around the mouth embouchure, big air, and an open throat. Get your tongue down in your mouth like you're saying aw, maw. Make sure that, that throat, that voicing area, your oral cavity is open so the air can flow through it really freely. Equipment-wise, I hope that you're all playing on good reeds. There's lots of good brands out there. Van Doren makes a couple different things. D'Addario makes a couple things that are good. They're Jazz Select reeds or their reserves or the Van Doren Blue Box or whatever. There's a bunch of different things that you can try. I tend to just play the Van Doren Blue Box, but that's kind of my personal preference. Making sure that we're playing a good mouthpiece on the horn is, all of these things are more important than worrying about spending thousands of dollars on a saxophone. Spend $100 or a couple hundred bucks on a really good mouthpiece or a mouthpiece for band and then a mouthpiece for jazz band and have two. That's what I do. I have different equipment for different settings. One for my classical playing, one for my jazz playing. And that would serve you well. But making sure you're playing something other than whatever came with the horn is going to be great. If you're interested, I have a equipment handout on my website, mattolsonmusic.com. Under the teaching tab, I've got a bunch of handouts. One on that. There's one on swing fundamentals with talks about articulation. There's another that's a chord exercise that I like to use a lot that helps us learn the three basic chord types in jazz, the major 7, the dominant 7, and the minor 7th chord. If we can get a handle on those three chords, we're learning an awful lot about the harmonic structure of jazz, because those are the three main chord types that you see. So learning to arpeggiate 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 7, 5, 3, 1, up and down all three of those chord types back to back to back in all 12 keys gives us a really good harmonic foundation for what we're doing as improvisers. Then, transcribing, playing other people's transcriptions of solos, listening with big ears to lots and lots of great players. This is how you slowly, slowly build some ability to speak this language that we call jazz and learn to improvise. It's a lifelong journey. It's not study it for a week and everything's great. Hit trumpets, got to support it, got to put air through the horn. So in the drums, both charts have ended with a press roll on the last chord. Maybe experiment playing around the drum set a little bit more on the drums. And you don't have to end quietly. You can end with a cymbal crash and just let it ring. Maybe not so much on that chart, but on the first chart, you certainly can do that. It's a pretty common way to end a tune, you know, big chord. And then just let the cymbal ring.
Thanks again. I did want to point out to you,
I'm going to write that chord exercise down, because I think it's important.
Second on trombone, Tanner Newman. And third, last but not least, Spencer Kuriavich. Thanks again for listening, and we had a lot of fun playing for you guys.
Well, we've had a lot of fun listening to you guys.
And it wouldn't be a performance of this tune if I didn't forget to tell you that Matt Lines is going to play a 5 solo right up front. So,
So that chord exercise, major 7, dominant 7, minor 7. Learn it in all 12 keys and get it to where it's muscle memory. That way when you see those chord symbols in the charts you're playing, you'll have it instantaneously into, like, on that first chart, that G sharp to A, C sharp to D, depending on your key. That'll be automatic. You won't have to think about that. And you'll know to start looking for that infrastructure on any tune that you're playing. What are the chords? What's going on in this? And how can I communicate that in my solo? So, okay, enough on that. In the drums, maybe lead a little even more with the ride cymbal. And in the vibes, go ahead and play out a little bit. You might even need a little harder mallet just to make sure that it's obvious that we hear you and that you're playing a solo. Don't rely on the microphone necessarily. It's for enhancement. Yeah, trumpets, you gotta support that sound. You gotta get that airstream going and really make sure that you're playing a real full, resonant, focused tone. Some long tone exercises to develop that stability in your sound is gonna help you a lot. Trombones, make sure that stand is truly out of your way and that you find a hole between the saxophones so that we really hear what you guys are doing. And in all sections, but especially the brass. Could use a little bit more tongue on the front of a lot of these attacks, especially accented attacks. Da da da. You know, put a little bit more force behind, a little more tongue compression. What's interesting about playing this instead of being in symphonic man is we can tongue, we can accent like we thought an accent was when we first started playing. Oh, like the tongue harder accent. It's not really that, of course, we know that, but sometimes in this music we can sort of approach it that way. Professional players pay a lot of attention to attack and release, beginnings and ends of notes. The way to play an accent is to make sure you've got a really good force of air behind it. The air really plays a crucial role along with the tongue. The tongue is simply a lever or valve, if you will, that sets the air free. The more compression you use, the more you're going to get. And when I talk about tongue compression, I'm talking about ta, ta. The more T that you get on it, the harder that is, the more, you know, attack we're going to get. Nice job on that solo. Maybe work a little bit on building some energy in it. And rhythm section, take them on a ride, you know, like build during the solo. Ooh, some funny notes there maybe. There we go. That's better. And keep your airstream open. Keep that throat open. Maw. Aw. So that air has no obstacles along the way out of the instrument. So, I don't play the trombone, so hard to say if it's the throat or the embouchure, if you're a little too tight up in your embouchure. But something is standing in the way of your, like, a really free-flowing sound. So keep working on that. Get with your private teacher or any private teacher to have you to help kind of work some of those things out. do dot do dot do dot dot. You guys are too nice. Yeah, put some air, some force, some tongue behind it. Good job on the trombone solo. And again, you know, with all you guys, like, just go for it. You know, have fun with it. Like, put some air out there, put some ideas out there, and go for it. Again, don't ask questions. Just put it out there. All right, then. I like the enthusiasm for the solo. I like that. Let's take that enthusiasm and let's keep channeling that into the content of what you play. You know, how do you play on the harmony? How do you play on the tunes? Do some homework and some research on that. I like to approach improvising, learning it by one tune at a time. So whether it's the minor blues, like the first tune that you played, or this one, or taking Jamie Ebersold Volume 54, Maiden Voyage, and starting to learn those songs one at a time. Each song presents you with a harmonic challenge of some sort that you have to solve, a riddle of sorts, to figure out, to be successful and play a good solo. You guys are just starting, I think, and it's time to dig a little bit deeper and push that bar up. Challenge yourself, push yourself. Hey, and in the drums, you are responsible for the dynamics of the band. So you cannot play the same dynamic all the time. You got to vary it up, okay? You have to be a little more assertive, a little bit more aggressive. Us horn players will do what you set up for us. We'll do what you tell us to do. Doing a pretty good job of playing the figures. But we need a little bit more aggressiveness from you. You'll get there. To all of you, find recordings of players that you really dig and immerse yourself in them. Listen with big ears, with intent, with focus. You know, like I said, it's so important. You don't have a huge frame of reference just yet, but you'll get it. You'll get there. All right, a nice job today. Great, a nice performance by you guys. You're off to a really good start. I want you to focus on fundamentals on your instrument. We've got some work to do on our tone, on our intonation, on our articulation skills. Certainly articulation as it applies to the music we're playing. Attacks, releases, could use a little more dynamic shading, especially, you know, kind of led by the drummer. So we've got some stuff to work on here, but we're off to a good start, and I like your enthusiasm that I see. When you're playing different things, let's translate that, you know, let's transfer that to what comes out of your horns. If you're not taking private lessons, please try to do so. There's great musicians here in town. The Arizona State has a bunch of students too. Just because I'm mentioning private lessons, that doesn't mean you have to go every week. Could be every other week, could be once a month. Whatever works for you, whatever you can afford, but any guidance that you get from someone who is specialized on your instrument can only help you. If you take what that teacher is saying seriously and pursue what they ask you to pursue as it pertains to embouchure, as it pertains to other techniques, Airstream, what have you. We teach ourselves how to play, but having some guidance, having partners in crime to help us along the way is really, really important. Learning how to practice. Making sure we do practice. And knowing what to practice, for how long, how to structure our practice time. So, it's very important to make sure we take those fundamentals really seriously. And I hear Jamie talking about pentatonic scales at the other table. Another great shape to work on, and one that can really help on a lot of these tunes that you're working on. The pentatonic scale is a great solution because it's only five notes, so it's a subset of a scale and gives you fewer choices, which actually is good when we first are starting out. Sometimes having too many choices is a bad thing. So thanks so much for playing for us today. Best wishes for the rest of the school year. Thanks for playing here at the festival.